The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth. But no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, let's start with a whop, or shall we? Welcome back. Hope you're doing well. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I love this thought. This is a great thought. All the best women, all of them, every single one of them, all the best women are men. Now, what do you do with that? All the best women are men. That was just a little tweet that Ben Shapiro put out earlier. As Leah Thomas, what a shock, this gigantic guy gets in the pool with a bunch of normal-sized women and then obliterates them when they have their little swim race, right? So all the best women are men, whether it's in swimming or wrestling, track and field, all that kind of stuff. And then I just heard that WWE, WWF, the World Wrestling Federation, that stuff's going woke? What? That that doesn't make any sense. It's just nothing makes any sense anymore. So all the best women are men, it would sure seem. So the NCAA. And this isn't – what is this? This isn't sports leagues anymore. Well, and if you're looking on Facebook Live or YouTube Live and you see a picture of Bart Simpson on the big screen behind me, that's because this is definitely a snarky Friday. Okay, so buckle up because it's all I got for you today. By the time I get to Fridays after swimming and all this stuff for the week, I'm usually pretty snarky. So – a couple angles here and some really interesting stories and some funny stuff. Okay. So, and then some inspiring stuff. So we'll be all over the map today on a snarky Friday. Atlanta, Georgia, the father of a swimmer competing at the NCAA women's. Whoa. That's so, I'm just triggered right now. Women's swimming championship. They need to put women's in air quotes now. Describe watching transgender athlete, a man, Leah Thomas, dominating female swimmers as unfair and soul crushing. The transgender University of Pennsylvania swimmer clocked in at 4:33:24 in the women's 500 freestyle finals Thursday evening last night, finishing first, what a shock, ahead of the University of Virginia's Emma Wyant, a freshman. I've got a story on Emma here in a second. Thomas will compete in the women's 200 freestyle Friday evening tonight and the 100 freestyle on Saturday. The transgender swimmer is slated to finish second in the 200 freestyle and 10th in the 100 freestyle. We'll see. I just don't think it's fair, said the father of a swimmer from Virginia, a hateful man, small-minded, obviously, who asked not to be identified in order to preserve his daughter's anonymity. These young ladies have worked too hard to be treated like that. Where are the feminists? Where are you, ladies? When all the best ladies now are men. The dad expressed concerns in an interview at the Daily Wire that weighing in publicly on controversy over Thomas would embroil his daughter in criticism that might endanger her future job prospects. That's not hyperbole. That's not crazy. That's not irresponsible. That is highly responsible. A very wise father who's worried about his daughter's future job prospects, because if she says anything about Leah Thomas, the man who thinks either by hook or by crook that he's a woman, so he competes because the NCAA doesn't have a backbone and they're so woke, it's not about sports anymore, it's about ideology, because ideology trumps reality, then he knows that if she comes out on this, that's going to stick to her like glue, stink on a monkey. And that's going to follow her around for the rest of her professional life. So if she goes to try to get a job with any of these woke corporations, which is growing more by the day, that's going to be, oh, I'm sorry. We found some things here with your ESG score. And we just can't work with somebody like you because that's just not our culture, right? While some onlookers cheered as the transgender athlete was announced the winner on Thursday evening, the stands also resonated with a chorus of boos and yells. And whereas part of me as a Christian feels bad for this guy because he's got a mental illness called gender dysphoria, and then they're booing and yelling at him, there's my heart breaks for him, but it doesn't break for the fact that, like I played the Matt Walsh thing a couple days ago, you have to say no, this is ridiculous. The Virginia dad said that it had been incredibly obvious from where he had been sitting in the stands that parents don't appear to be supportive of Leah Thomas. Quote, it happened several times yesterday when he finished, when he touched the wall and finished, the father explained. Nobody clapped, really. When the second place person came in, the place exploded. That's because that was your actual winner. Now, second place, this isn't woke philosophy, but in women's sports, this is becoming the deal. The second place winner is the winner. And then you had a guy who's got a mental illness finished ahead of them, but he wasn't the winner. In a women's event, that would have to be a woman. Emma Wyatt, who I mentioned a minute ago, praised as the real winner after trans swimmer Leah Thomas takes first. The University of Virginia, Emma Wyatt, was praised as the real winner after she came in second to biologically male transgender swimmer. Wow, hateful, these guys. Leah Thomas in the NCAA Women's Swimming Championship 500-yard freestyle on Thursday. Quote, round of applause for Emma Wyatt, the UVA swimmer who placed second in the 500 freestyle tonight behind Leah Thomas, Angelo Morabito posted. Second is the new first. Congratulations to Emma Wyatt for being the real winner of the women's 500, Jake Shields wrote. This is Emma Wyatt from the University of Virginia. She finished in second place to Leah Thomas. This is a text. She's the true winner to all of us. Here's the name you should remember and lobby for, Emma Wyatt. Eric Reed said in a tweet, she's at UVA. She finished second place, but would have been first place if people had the courage to speak up about the injustice of a man, all caps, competing against women. Wyatt's time was a career best. But that doesn't matter anymore because the best women now are men. So there's a clip. Do we have time for this? Probably not. We're gonna hit the break here in a minute. So I'm gonna save this to the other side because there's an interview done outside the arena where the swimming's taking place. And again, Leah Thomas, the guy, the dude, he's got an Audi. Women have an innie. Got it? Okay. Hopefully, I don't need to say any more than that. But he's competing tonight. He'll be competing again tomorrow. And so we'll continue to follow this, but there's a reporter that talked to one of the swimmers outside the arena, and that swimmer, I thought, handled it beautifully with speaking the truth with compassion and grace. Because after all, don't forget, Leah Thomas, the guy, has a mental disorder. Leah Thomas either A, has gender dysphoria, a mental disorder that requires treatment, not indulgence, or B, he's a grifter because he was like ranked in the 400s nationally when he actually competed with guys, fellow men. But he pushes over to the women's league. Now he gets all this attention. He's getting all these deals. He was on the cover of one of the Sports Illustrated recently. He's going to make all kinds of money. And maybe he's just an opportunist. Maybe he doesn't have gender dysphoria. Maybe he's just kind of a grifter and an opportunist. I don't know. Hopefully time will tell. But a very courageous answer on the subject when we come back. This is Steve Noble. Don't go anywhere. Oh, see, Bruce Lee. There you go. Bruce Lee. May he rest in peace. Come back and start competing in females karate and martial arts things. And he'd take them all to town, of course. And so rock and roll, Bruce. All you got to do is say that identify as a woman and you're in. And that's why all the best women are men. Right? That was the point of Ben Shapiro's tweet a little earlier today as we talk about trans male swimmer Leah Thomas. Who needs help, not indulgence, not hormone treatments, certainly not a scalpel. What he needs is therapy. He needs help. He's got gender dysphoria. He doesn't need indulgence. But in this world where right is wrong and wrong is right, and you can't ever step foot into the arena of any kind of truth because you got to leave everything relative so that you can make up the rules yourself, because if there's the existence of moral rules, then there has to be a moral rule giver, and then that takes you down the road that leads you to, oh, boy. God, and that's a problem, right? I'm just giving you the spiritual skinny there. Okay, that's the deal. So yeah, I've said it before. I'll say it again. All the best women are men, and where are the feminists? Okay, so outside the NCAA women's swimming, and again, that as a follower of Jesus Christ, I mean, I part of me is like, I sound so heartless and cold and condescending. And I don't, that's really not in my heart in terms of the individuals. So when I look at somebody like Leah Thomas, I just see somebody that's really broken, made in the image of God. Jesus died for him as much as he died for me and you. And then the whole world's indulging his mental illness. And that's terrible for him, and it's terrible for the world. So there's a part of my heart that I'm like, yeah, it's broken, it's soft. And there's another part of me, as I just look at the culture in general, that gets enraged and disgusted. And I think rightfully so. All right, so this was outside the arena, and the somebody, I might have been with Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire, was interviewing one of the swimmers. And I thought she handled it swimmingly. Josh, are you ready? Yeah. All right, let's play that. Check this out. I thought this was handled really, really well.
You're a Virginia Tech swimmer. What did you think about Leah Thomas competing today as a swimmer in this competition? What are you feeling? What are other athletes feeling?
It's a common conception that we are all very disappointed and frustrated with someone who has capabilities more than us women have to be able to compete at this level and take opportunities away from other women. Like, I have a teammate who did not make finals today because she was just bumped out of finals. And it's heartbreaking to see someone who went through puberty as a male and has the body of a male be able to absolutely blow away the competition, and you go into it with a mindset that you don't have a chance, if that makes sense. Like, it's hard to compete against someone with the aerobic capacity, the muscle development, the body of a man. It's hard. It's hard to think about it like that. And staying positive, I bet, for other swimmers who are in that heat is probably overwhelming. I'm not sure. I can't speak for them, but it's disappointing to see and frustrating, definitely.
And you said that one of your teammates was crying today because she didn't make the finals. You said that she was 17th,
yes,
and there were 16 spots.
Yes.
So Leah Thomas took one of those spots. Talk to us about what your teammate was going through and that experience.
She was very emotional, and it's hard to see because it's her last NCAAs.
Jeez.
And she really loves that race, and it was just heartbreaking to see that she put all her effort into it today and went the best time that she went in a morning session before and still not make it back. It's hard to see someone who works every day, every night, still not be able to compete against someone like that.
And there you go. And that's the reality. And that's what you need. God bless this young woman who is courageous enough to speak out. And, you know, once they, Daily Wire, this is a large conservative outlet, and that's going to be all over the place. And that's going to come back to haunt her. I guarantee you that. That's going to come back to haunt her, depending on what she does with her career when she gets done. But there's 16 people get to go to the finalists, and you're number 17 because one of the 16 is a guy. So a man just stole your opportunity in your senior year, your last NCAA championship, and a guy just got away with completely stealing her opportunity. So that's where we're at. You know what would stop it? And I saw several people on Facebook mention this. If, let's say, I don't know how many swimmers there are in a heat. Let's say there's 9. So he gets up there. Leah Thomas gets up there. All the other 8 actual women get up there, and they get in position. And when they shoot the gun off or whatever happens, they all just stand up and they come down off the little diving board thing, and they just sit there. They just go back to their seat and sit down. And every time a man steps into the arena with women in a women's sporting event, that's what they should do. And that wouldn't take very long. But they're so afraid, which is legitimate, to stand up and speak the truth, even when it's the emperor clearly has no clothes. This is why, friends, we all need to gird up our loins. And don't be so afraid. You have to trust the Lord here that I'm going to speak the truth with love and compassion and patience and grace, but speak the truth nevertheless. And just leave the results up to God. The Lord, Exodus 11, will fight for you. And you might not get anything in this life but grief. But when you stand up for truth, which really in this case is because we love Leah Thomas, this messed up guy, because he's made in the image of God. So I'm going to speak the truth because that's what Leah Thomas needs. He doesn't need indulgence. He needs the truth and he needs help. So you could sit there and watch him walk down this road of self-destruction and say nothing, but that makes you unloving, which is a violation of neighbor love, which is a sin. So to say nothing then becomes a sin. And so back to James, if you know what it's right to do and you don't do it to you, that's a sin. You're like, I should say something, I didn't say anything. That's a sin. That's called a sin of omission. Speak the truth, no matter what it costs you. Trust the Lord. We all have to do that. Okay, truth. Wow. New York Times, a little truth coming to New York Times. What was that? Did I hear a trumpet outside somewhere up in the sky? Or is that an earthquake? What's going on? Now that Joe Biden's president, the New York Times finally admits Hunter's laptop is real. Did you see this? This is by the editorial board at the New York Post. forget the profanity, but you have got to be blankety blank. First, the New York Times decided more than a year ago that Hunter Biden's business woes are worthy of a story. Then, deep in the piece and passing it notes that Hunter's laptop is legitimate. What? People familiar with the investigation said prosecutors had examined emails between Mr. Biden, Mr. Archer, and others about Burisma and other foreign business activity, the Times writes. Those emails were obtained by the New York Times from a cache of files that appears to have come from a laptop abandoned by Mr. Biden in a Delaware repair shop. The emails and others in the cache were authenticated by people familiar with them and with the investigation. Whoa, authenticated? You don't say, they write at the New York Post. You mean when a newspaper actually does reporting on a topic and doesn't try to whitewash coverage for Joe Biden, it discovers it's actually true? But wait, it doesn't end there. In October 2020, the Times cast doubt that there was a meeting between Joe Biden and an official from Burisma, the Ukrainian, that's right, Ukrainian gas company for which Hunter was a board member. Quote, a Biden campaign spokesman said, Mr. Biden's official schedules did not show a meeting between the two men, the Times wrote, acting as a perfect stenographer. Yet in the latest report published Wednesday night, the Times said the meeting likely did happen. Biden had attended the dinner in question. Funny how this works when you don't just take someone's word for it. What's the difference? What changed? It was all bogus. Russia disinformation, Trump disinformation, right-wing disinformation back in 2020. But today, in March of 2022, it's authenticated. What happened? Well, they won. That's what happened. We lie in order to get there. And then sooner or later, you know, maybe when Ukraine's burning, we tell the truth. Jeez. We'll be right back. Okay, let's have a little fun. Are you ready to have a little fun here on Snarky Friday? It is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website. All right, and if you missed the show, if you want to watch the video of the show, because we have conversations while you're on radio, we love all of our radio friends and all our radio partners and the Truth Radio and everybody else and Carl Ford and pastors and all kinds of great people that we partner with on the radio side. And none of this ministry would exist without that. So we praise the Lord for radio. But you have commercials, and that's a necessary part of the radio world. But on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, while the commercials are playing, I just kind of keep talking about different things. I don't rob Peter to pay Paul. The vast majority of the content for the show happens during the regular segments on the radio. But there is more content, and sometimes it's a little more personal, whatever. But you'd have to go to Facebook Live or YouTube Live to do that. Just go to The Steve Noble Show on either platform and you can find it. But the podcast itself, to listen to the show later, if you want something to hear or watch it again, they're always there on Facebook and YouTube. But the podcast you can get pretty much at all the major top five, top six podcast platforms out there. You'll find The Steve Noble Show. That's cool. There's another website you've probably started to hear it this week during the show. And that one sounds a little more familiar. Well, they all sound familiar at this point because it's got my name in it again. NobleUSchool.com. Okay, it's NobleU. So you, if you've been a part of the show for a while, you know I've been teaching. This is my 10th year teaching high school age homeschoolers. The first year, it wasn't even my idea. One of the homeschool moms in our community said to my wife, hey, Steve should really be, I think Steve should be teaching a government class. Because she had seen me do teaching little kids in church what's it called? You memorize the Bible verses. You have the funny guy that's like the mascot. 56. My dad would call this a senior moment. I know all you guys are out there screaming the answer. I just can't hear you. What? No. It's a big Bible study group at the little kids, and there's different, and they can earn little badges as they memorize scripture. Anyway, she had seen me doing that, and I'm entertaining, I'm fun. And so she's like, Steve should really be teaching a government class. And my wife's like, you're right. And so then Mrs. Noble said to Mr. Noble, Ellen and I think you should be teaching a Bible, a government class. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. I probably should. Awana, thank you, Debbie. And so I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. So then I identified a curriculum. I used a BJU Press curriculum and started teaching. And it was just awesome. I love it. I'm good at it. The students are responding. We're having a blast, right? God's moving. It's great. So I started that, and then once I finished my master's degree in ethics, I added Christian ethics to that, and then this year added U.S. history, which is unbelievably awesome. Oh, my goodness. I love teaching U.S. history. It's so ripe with gospel conversations, biblical worldview development. I start the first class of the two-semester program with Solomon, and there's nothing new under the sun. New news is old news happening to new people. And the thing, I can play this game with history, whether it's U.S. history, English history, British history, Spanish history, Chinese history, you name it. Any place on the planet, you're going to see a lot of similarities. Why is that? Because they all have one thing in common, human beings. So anyway, this year, like I have six classes right now. I got about 105 students every week that I teach. And then I come in here and do radio, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I really feel the Lord's calling me more into this. Other people are like, there's got to be a way. Can you teach more classes? I'm like, no, I want to do the radio show too. And the only way around that, the limit of time and space, is to offer online. So we're starting that this fall. We just launched the website last week, NobleU School.com, and you can get all the information there. But like in the fall, when we start doing this, students, these are high school students, will watch the lecture that in-class lecture that I just did that week. Because I'm incorporating Ukraine and Russia. Everything going on in the news shows up in these classes, all three classes. And it's powerful. It makes it alive, makes it relevant. It matters all of a sudden. And what happened in World War I is coming alive right now in Ukraine and Russia, and what's going on in Europe and our involvement and all that stuff. It's just wonderful, man. I'm so excited. So if you're a homeschooler, if you know a homeschool family, if they have a high school level, then get in there. Go check it out for yourself. NobleUSchool.com. Okay, speaking of schools, Yale, this is hilarious. I love this story. Yale law students disrupt bipartisan free speech panel. Trigger police escort. More than 100 woke Yale law students, this is from the New York Post, that's why they're going to lean into this a little bit. More than 100 woke Yale law school students disrupted a bipartisan panel on civil liberties by trying to shout down and intimidate the speakers. Don't they get the irony of this? Who had to be escorted out of the building by police. The panel hosted by the Federalist Society featured Christian Wagoner, a constitutional rights U.S. Supreme Court litigator with Alliance Defending Freedom, awesome group, and Monica Miller, an associate at the Progressive American Humanist Association, and she's an atheist, right? The discussion on March 10th was held in hopes of showing how a liberal atheist and a conservative Christian could agree on free speech issues, a member of the Federalist Society told the news outlet. The two speakers reportedly discussed the recent U.S. Supreme Court case, which dealt with freedom of religion and freedom of speech on college campuses. Quote, it was pretty much the most innocuous thing you could talk about, the member of the Organization of Conservatives told the Free Beacon. But about 120 students, these are law students, okay, this is what's really disturbing here, showed up to protest the event, where they outnumbered the audience members and held up signs attacking the ADF, which won several Supreme Court cases establishing religious exemptions from civil rights laws. Law school professor Kate Stith, the moderator, was forced to pause the event when one student told a member of the conservative group that she would I'll literally fight you, according to audio and video obtained by the outlet. Stith reportedly admonished the aspiring legal eagles about Yale's free speech policies, which forbid any protest that interferes with speakers' ability to be heard in a community of members. Okay, so here's what's the most disturbing part about this, is these are Yale Law School students. Law school students who, you know, if you're going to deal with the law in the United States of America, where we're supposed to be a nation of laws rather than men, Madison and the rest of our founding fathers all understood that, then what you really want to do is apply the law of the land fairly, equally to anybody. And one of the big aspects of the law of the land in the United States of America is free speech. So our future lawyers and leaders are so woke. They're so easily triggered. They're so wimpy. They're so weak in the knees. They're like spineless jellyfish, that somebody comes on campus that has an absolutely constitutionally protected right to free speech and they shout them down and disrupt it. Those are your future leaders of America there at Yale Law School. And the fact that Yale doesn't absolutely crack down on all these people saying, hey, this is Yale Law School where we're all about the law, and the law says you have free speech. Now, there's a couple limits here and there, but overwhelmingly, you have free speech. You don't have a constitutional right to not be offended. And if you don't want to hear what the ADF Christian conservative wacko girl has to say, don't go. That's my President Biden impersonation, by the way. Don't go. Just don't go to the event. You don't have to give that wacko you actually have a constitutional right to not go. But you don't have a constitutional right to not be offended, you wimp. And again, here I am, all up in my flesh right now, just wanting to tear into these 100 stupid Yale Law School students. But I'm sitting there going, Jesus died for them too, Steve. I know. And so part of me is enraged and disgusted and wants to mock and belittle. And the other part of me is like, wow, look what's happening to our future. Are you so weak? Are you so easily triggered? Are you so woke that you just can't handle an opposing opinion? And I understand. Listen, what's your guess about the nature of the four noble children? Do you think they're quiet and reserved? Or do you think you're going to know their opinion? And oftentimes they'll disagree with mom and dad. And I get frustrated, and sometimes I can get so frustrated because they're too much like me a little bit, I guess, that I just want to forget it. I just want to walk away. But most of the time I don't. I stay in, so I get the frustration. But this is bigger than a 56-year-old Christian man's frustration dealing with his kids sometimes. We all know what that's like. But this is like institutional wimpiness, where they're future leaders and lawyers who have any respect for the freedom of speech. Oh my goodness. That's a nightmare, friends. And you wonder why God tells us in his word to pray for those in authority over us. Because boy, do they need it. Boy, do they need it. Listen, in whether we're talking about the condition of the nation culturally, in terms of law and leadership, whether we're talking about it financially, this thing's a train wreck. And financially, here and around the world, the whole thing's a house of cards. It's a train wreck. Praise the Lord for me and probably most of you. When the whole thing collapses, I'm gonna be in heaven. I'll be in heaven with the Lord. I'm out of here. So who's left? Who's gonna get crushed under that building collapse? Well, it's gonna be my kids. For our kids to get married, it'll be spouses, kids, their children, Paxton, my grandson. And your kids and their grandchildren, they're all going to get smushed under this nightmare that we're allowing to happen under our nose. And I know some of that, there's not much we can do about. But one thing you can do about it, you can pray about it. Wow, that sounds like a Christian 101 thing. That's because it is fundamental. Pray for those in authority over us. Pray for the nation. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Oh, wait a second. We didn't do the Trump thing. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. This is hilarious. So I was listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton earlier today, and they were talking about this guy. I had heard about him before somewhere. Captain Deplorable. CaptainDeplorable45.com. So he's an incredible Trump impersonator. So earlier I was going to say, hey, Trump got a new job. He's doing the voiceover with navigation systems, like on your phone, right? Google, Yahoo, whatever. Well, neither of them would allow him to do that, so it'd have to be on his own platform. But this guy's absolutely hilarious, and he's so good. But he'll do all kinds of Trump impersonations. He'll go to Chick-fil-A, go to the grocery store, whatever. In this case, this is Captain Deplorable as Donald Trump doing navigation. Okay, on your little navigator.
In a quarter mile, you're going to make a left, okay? We're talking about a left onto Sawtelle Boulevard. A wonderful street. I built it with my own two hands. A beautiful street. I know a lot about it. Nobody knows Sawtelle like I know Sawtelle. You're going to make a left. And if you reach Bernie Sanders, you've gone too far left, okay? If you reach Bernie, you've gone too far. In three big, beautiful quarters of a mile, we're going to make a U-turn, okay? We're going to make a U-turn, turn around. Or as Jen Psaki likes to say, we're going to circle back. Okay, we're going to make the U-turn, the greatest U-turn the world has ever seen at Corpus Christi Drive, and we're going to turn it around faster than the world has ever seen. We're rerouting, or as I like to call it, lost, okay? We've got no clue where we are. We are more lost than a liberal after reading the Constitution. We're more lost than Sleepy Joe after leaving his basement, but we're going to get there soon, believe me.
Isn't that great? That guy's so good. He could get himself in a lot of trouble impersonating the president, but it's so funny. I just love that. It's just a gas. So if you want to go check that out for yourself and get a good laugh, I just put a link up. CaptainDeplorable45.com. Captain Deplorable. 45.com. Okay. Choosing God over college basketball. This is a great story. Why one top player quit her team. This girl, Leah Church, went to the University of North Carolina, UNC. And when she got in, she cried, right? It was a dream. Her dream school, and she hadn't even applied. They reached out to her. And then, I think in her junior year, she ended up quitting. You love UNC women's basketball. This was in the Gospel Coalition. You're pretty tough, and you aren't a quitter. Take us into your experience. What made this experience so difficult that you needed to walk away? It was so hard, Leah said. When you get to play in Carmichael Arena, where the UNC women's team plays, you're on the court where Michael Jordan played when he was at UNC. When I got to step onto the court, it was everything I'd ever dreamed of. The first month or two with the new coaching staff, so she was under the original coach who was there for like 30 years. The first month or two with the new coaching staff were fine, but as time went on, things became more difficult. I started seeing that there were expectations for me to participate in the party lifestyle and condone things that didn't line up with my biblical beliefs. I chose not to drink, and I'm choosing to save myself for marriage. I said no to a lot of things, which made team bonding challenging. There was only one other Christian girl on the team, and she quit when the new coaching staff came on. It was super lonely. I felt like sometimes I was singled out for my beliefs, which led to degradation. Midway through junior year, I started thinking, I'm going to have to get out of this. I'm miserable. It absolutely killed me when basketball started no longer being fun or enjoyable. It was crushing. That's just like the girls that have to compete with boys, right? My mom would tell me light and darkness don't mix. It's not like they dislike you, but Christ in you. I knew that, but it didn't make it any easier. When the coach came out with the list of causes the team would be supporting, woke, right? I knew I wasn't going to be able to compromise and go against biblical principles. I decided in light of eternity that basketball wasn't worth it. See, she wasn't going to compromise on the truth. Gospel Coalition asked, you worked your whole life for this goal only to have it sour partway through. How did you handle that disappointment? Leah said, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad's a full-time missionary evangelist. He preaches at revivals, etc. My mom chose to homeschool my sister and me all the way through high school to lay the biblical foundation that we needed. I tried to be a witness at UNC where I could. I tried to live my life honoring God. I knew there's always a purpose wherever we're placed. I don't know why it had to happen that Coach Haskell left 2 years into my career when she'd been there for 33. I know it's not good to question God, but I questioned that. I talked to my mom and dad, and we prayed and looked at every option. Ultimately, we all felt peace that it was time, God's time for me to leave. I kept coming back to James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, and Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. You know that one, right, everybody? You may think in the moment, why am I giving up my senior season? But if you really trust his sovereignty and plans, which is what I was alluding to earlier, you have to go to the end of the verse where it says his plans are to give you hope and a future. Life's not supposed to be easy for Christians. For me, it helped to think about eternity. And through this, I've had the opportunity to share my faith at churches and with teams. I've been able to use this to encourage others to stand firm because, in the end, that's what matters. Faithfulness. It's a great story. God bless her. And something she loved, and can you imagine, probably like a lot of these girls having to compete with guys, something you love, and all of a sudden, that love and that opportunity is stolen from you, literally. And then it's not fun anymore. And she walks away. But she had the guts to do it. She wasn't going to play the game. She wasn't going to toe the line. She walked. And some of you did that because of COVID and masking and especially with vaccines and stuff. And God bless you. If that's your conviction and you can back it up biblically, then sometimes you just have to walk the plank and see what the Lord's going to do. I mean, for us, for the Noble family, back in 2011, I wasn't looking to sell my business, my little house painting company, but a guy I had met, a great guy, came up out of the blue, air quotes, and he was either going to start his own or buy mine, and so we talked a little bit. 30 days later, we sold on it. Now, we sold a house painting company, okay? We didn't sell Red Hat, so we knew when we closed on May 30th, we'll be okay through the end of the year, but come January 1st, we're in trouble financially. But it was really obvious that God was changing directions. I wasn't looking for it. That was really helpful for me as a type A person that has a tendency to just go make stuff happen and then ask God to bless it. But we didn't know. But at the end of that year in 2011 is when my friends at Harvest Crusades with Greg Laurie reached out to me. I wasn't looking for it. They reached out to me, and they were doing Harvest America and wanted me to help on this side of the country, and especially because I was in the Southern Baptist world at the time. And the arrangement we came to financially was the exact hole in our budget that we needed to survive. And it started on January 1st. Sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith, friends. This is from Maya Mihaluk, who lives in Kyiv, Ukraine. Believe her. Another night, another war night is descending on Ukraine. Today I was reminded of another great quote from the Tolkien novel, The Hobbit, where Gandalf says, "Saruman believes it's only great power that could hold evil in check, but that's not what I have found. I found it's the small everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay, small acts of kindness and love." We see it in very obvious ways these days as world leaders of powerful countries hesitate to offer full support to Ukraine in the fight against the monster who spits threats not only on Ukraine now, but we see it's ordinary folk who show solidarity with Ukrainians, who put pressure on their governments to act, who pray, send support, welcome refugees to their homes, gather humanitarian aid, who proactively look for ways to help. Helping even one person, one family, makes a difference. And it's ordinary folk who go to the front lines to risk their lives to defend our country, and who volunteer to do whatever it takes to support defenders and to help women and children who flee from war. It's ordinary folk in cities under occupation who stand against Russian tanks waving Ukrainian flags and singing the Ukrainian anthem. It's ordinary folk in the cities that are coming under nightly bombings who in the morning greet each other with a smile and wish each other to stay safe and have a great day. In our multi-storied building, we have three entrances, each with 44 apartments. In our entrance, there are maybe 10 to 12 apartments that didn't evacuate. 1 floor below us, there's a family that's expecting a baby in a month. Above us, there's a single mother with two sons. He just wrote this the other day, by the way. There are others who see at different times in the elevator or as we leave in or in the morning or leave the building. We even still have a concierge. The lady continues serving as our security guard, even though not all 44 apartments will be contributing to her pay this month. Our little community knows that Bria was born, and I think it has become a great, hopeful event for all, their daughter. One of our neighbors today brought a big box of various baby things, baby food, diapers, creams. We don't need anything, but we were grateful that in the midst of survival mode, there are such acts of kindness and love. I believe these are not ordinary folk after all. These are extraordinary folk that has arisen in the time of darkness. The crisis times bring the best and the worst in people. I'm grateful to be surrounded by the ones who shine and keep the darkness at bay. In this post, I'm using a picture of the eyes of our courageous defenders. They're all warriors of light, ordinary, extraordinary folk. And it's a really cool post. I put it up on Facebook Live. So you just see like 12 pictures and you just see the eyes of these people. Our extraordinary friends, please keep covering us with your prayers. Our prayers tonight are with Psalm 33, 11 through 22, which goes as follows. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all of its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. That's just incredible. But this type of light would never be able to shine out of Mr. Maya Mihaluk unless he was in the dark times. We run from those. We try to eliminate them, shorten them. But it's in the darkness, it's in the challenge, it's in the unknown where God really does incredible work in our lives. So I'm not saying be a masochist. I'm just saying if you can't avoid it, lean into it. If you lack courage, pray and ask for it. If you lack wisdom, pray and ask for it. God will provide. And when you have to stand for the truth and you don't know what it's going to cost you, God already does. And he's on the other side of the situation already. He's already there. He's in the pool and he'll catch you when you jump. So jump. Trust him. And now we might not get the rewards and we might not get the answers till heaven. But even if you have to wait till heaven, the rewards will be way beyond anything we could ask or imagine, like Ephesians 3:20 talks about. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.